Welcome back to RoomPak's ResEd Chat podcast, the platform to showcase people doing great work and talk about topics in residence life and college student housing. So my name is Noah Montague and I use he, him, his pronouns, and today I will be your host. As you all are starting to know as we make these episodes continuous, I like to say that I am a storyteller by trade, and the stories that I choose to tell and focus on are those that center the student and the college student experience, which makes me all the more excited about today's topic, really talking about resident assistance and that experience a little bit more heavily. So today we're going to be, like I said, talking about resident assistants, community assistants, RAs, RMs, whatever acronym or term your university uses to describe the exact same thing, being our student staff members living in the residence halls. But more specifically, we're going to be talking about recruitment. So RA recruitment, as we know, is one of, if not the biggest endeavor that most residence life offices undertake at any given year. And truly undergoing that process and talking about it and figuring out how to make it more equitable is really where we wanted to focus this conversation on today. So, with that, today's guest is a friend and a colleague that I am very excited to be introducing to you all today. I'm going to let go ahead and introduce themselves for y'all.
Hello, my name is Perry. I use he, they pronouns. I am a resident director at Miami University with Noah. I work closely with one of our assistant directors as the co-chair for our RA recruitment and selection committee.
Thanks so much. I'm so excited to have you here. Perry and I were talking about
Very excited.
the podcast recently, and he texted me immediately and was like, "When are you having me on?" So
I
we're
made for
covering
this.
this. You are, in fact, made for this. So getting to do it, I am super excited. And your background with recruitment and working in that space, just I think it's going to make for such an interesting time to get to talk about this and kind of like really delve deep into recruitment and what it looks like. So with that, I think starting with our first question then, if you could tell us a little bit about your experience working in our recruitment processes and what that has looked like for you.
Yeah, to preface, like I was not an RA in undergrad. I did not work in residence life during grad school. I went through the RA recruitment process in undergrad, and I left in the middle of it because I hated it. I was like, absolutely not. This is the worst thing ever. I'm done. But then I got here at Miami, and I was put on the RA recruitment and selection committee, and because it was one of the only committees that actually sounded interesting to me at the time. And the co-chair at the time got a new job in October. And I was just like, yeah, why not? Let me just go ahead and just jump in there. So I really became the co-chair for the recruitment committee like 2 months into my job with no training for the actual job itself. And I've been doing it ever since. That was 2021. So I've been doing that ever since.
And I remember when you got to Miami, like that was a big thing that you suddenly took over the recruitment committee. For myself, I've been on our recruitment committees at a couple different schools now. Here at Miami, I've been on our recruitment a couple times, and maybe bigger, maybe not as big. I did my internship at Virginia Tech, like during grad school, where I actually redesigned their entire recruitment process, and that was my whole internship, was working with them and building that. And we did a lot of different things. I was seeing it a lot of the time, and at some other schools, and I don't know if you've seen this, but like doing different types of RAs depending on like the type of hall, the type of environment. They had like
No.
a community RA and a
Yes, like for like apartment
conduct
complexes type
RA,
of vibes.
like different kinds of RAs across that. So I actually got to build a couple different processes, and experience like that difference between you're all RAs versus you might be the community building RA, or you might be the conduct focused RA in that community. And that difference was really different for me as well.
I know at my undergrad, like we had community assistants for like we had two apartment complexes on campus. We had community assistants who ran those, but then we also had ARAs or something like that, like assistant resident hall resident assistants. Like they were for the building, they were the top RA. They were like the head RA. And then some of the other RAs reported to them before reporting to a professional staff, which was also interesting.
Definitely. I have never been at a school that has a head RA specifically within Residence Halls, as far as like full-time working. Even my undergrad didn't have that. That wasn't an option. So I'd be interested to see like a little bit more about what that looks like at like a future place, because they're not uncommon
No.
either to have a head RA. Actually don't know why we don't have them, but
Buildings are too small.
that's a different conversation. but thinking about like RA recruitment in and of itself, and kind of starting a little bit broader, what have you seen as far as like within that recruitment process? What kind of messaging or framing have you seen that students tend to resonate the most as far as this is going to make me apply for the job? Like what has that looked like for you?
I think college students lately have been more so like driven on how is this going to benefit me. They're less driven about like, oh, I want to do this. Like, I am very interested in building community. I'm very interested in making helping students with their first year experience. Like, we've got the RAs that are like, that's their gist. But then we've also like a lot of the times we've got the RAs that they're like, how am I going to be able to like put this on my resume? How is this going to help me get a job? And so I think that's kind of where we've transitioned our marketing in a little bit. It's like, these are the things you're going to do in this job. Like, these are the skills you're building in this job. Because that's what they want to know. They're like, they know enough about what the RA job is, but they're just like, how is this applicable to my future career? So like letting them know, like, this is what you can put on a resume. You're building community. You're kind of managing your own little budget. Stuff like that. Like, you are leading and advocating crisis management. Like, these are the skills you're building that you can then tell future interviews, like, oh, through being an RA, this is what I did.
I think I've been seeing that a lot more like post-COVID as well with students. And not even in a bad way. Like, what am I going to get out of this? Like, the way that you're phrasing it, because I know that for me, I applied to be an RA because I had to. I would not have been able to continue going to school without doing that. And it paid for me to stay a student. And depending on the institution, that's not necessarily how we pay RAs. So like figuring out what that looks like can be a little bit different. But I'm definitely seeing more and more and more, what am I going to get out of this rather than I want to be there for my peers in like a way that is different after COVID.
And like, I mean, you know, I was in a doctoral program. I dropped out. Whatever, moving on. But like, when I was applying, like, that's kind of what I wanted to look into, was like this concept of students getting in these leadership positions for the return on investment, because that's what I think is driving students more now, is like, I'm not just going to do this for fun. I'm doing this to better myself and better my career.
And I remember when I was applying to be an RA, even back when I did that, I was told very specifically, do not mention that you are doing this in a large part for financial reasons. Like, I remember that being a part of the advice that I received, because that would turn people off to me as a candidate.
And
Learn
I
that.
think that is the craziest thing. Like, if a candidate tells me in an interview, if I'm like, why do you want to be an RA? They tell me XYZ and then be like, also like financial. I'm like, right, you're not gonna screw up the job, so why would I not hire you? Like, you need this, so you're not gonna ruin the opportunity.
And why would I want to be paid for a job be a bad answer to the question? I always thought that was a really interesting part of my recruitment process, that I am seeing less of that mindset since we're framing it more as this is what you're going to be getting out of this position, less so in kind of like to mirror that student perspective of what they're actually looking for. I found that really interesting, and I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, I've just found that really, really interesting. So I think you've spoken about this a little bit already, but what are maybe some effective ways? Because we're talking about applying, we're talking about getting students to apply for the RA position, kind of to frame this conversation. What have you seen be the most effective ways to get students to apply for the RA position?
Yeah, one of the newer things, it's not new. We used to do it earlier before I got here, and like last year we really kind of brought it back, was like having RAs, like literally hand residents recommendations.
Yeah.
Like we had each RA recommend two people. We have 250 RAs. That's 500 people that we're recommending to apply for the job, based off of what their RA is experiencing with them in the hall and
Yeah.
how they are in the hall. We didn't know, how effective that would be, but we took a chance on it. The amount of like during interview week, the amount of people that like brought their recommendation with them, I was just like, this is. So it's worth it. Like it was very exciting because people are like, yeah, I brought my recommendation. I don't know if you all like needed this or not, but I wanted to bring it with me because like it makes me feel good about the fact that I applied for this job and I'm interviewing for this job.
What like a fascinating, like physically tangible proof
Yeah.
that that was helpful too. I didn't know that happened.
Yeah, we probably had
They came with them.
Like, so we had about 300 interviews. We probably had about 20 people
Yeah.
like bring in their little recommendation that their RA
That's
gave them.
significant.
Yeah. And like, not everyone that got the recommendation applied for the job. Like, but I, like, even I in my building, so I have 9 RAs, we handed out 18 recommendations. I think 10 of them actually applied for the job.
Yeah.
But then the other ones who didn't, they're like, I very much appreciate you recommending for me for the job. I am pursuing other endeavors right now, though, so I don't think this is for me. And we're just like, that's fine. Like, if you want recommendations for those other endeavors, like, I see you as a student and I see you as a successful student. I'm here to be your recommendation.
I found with that process as well, because that was going to be one of the things that I talked about in the case that you didn't, because I watched that be so meaningful
Yeah.
to students, even if they chose not to apply. And
Right.
we all got to see like how effective it was in the application material. But I remember I had students who we recommended, and one of my RAs like gave one of my students like the little physical sheet, like told her that she was recommended. And she then came and meet with me, like almost in tears, being
Yeah.
like, I never I am surprised that you all see me in this way. I just thought that I was doing what I was supposed to do. I was just doing my best, but help me understand a little bit more why I was chosen to be nominated. And we got to have like a really cool conversation about it.
Yeah.
And one, I got to know that student more, and she ended up getting the job.
Right.
She applied, got the job, all from a recommendation. She had never even considered applying before, but we nominated her partially because of that, because introverted students tend to
Yeah.
not apply as much. And she ended up getting the job. So it was just such an interesting way of going about it with those physical sheets. It was cool to see how effective they were.
Because like I can recommend people all day long. I have 330 residents, so am I gonna know enough people out of my 330 well enough to know that they'd be able to do the job well? Probably not. I probably knew a solid like 5 that I would recommend myself, but putting it in the hands of the RAs, who they have 20 to 30 residents, they've got a solid choice of people that they could recommend. And they like know. One, who's already applying, so I don't necessarily need to give them a recommendation. Like if you don't have anyone else, sure, go ahead, give them the recommendation. Know that they've got your support. But they also know that student who isn't necessarily the most vocal in the corridor, but would be a good RA, but maybe doesn't have the exact confidence in themselves to apply to be the RA. And that's what I think the recommendations can be used a little bit more for is like, you would be good at this job. You may not believe you'd be good at this job right now. I'm telling you, you would.
And what like a cool thing to hear from a peer
Right.
that like is actually doing the job. Because you shared like you weren't an RA, and I was never an RA at the school that I work at. I have no idea what being an RA at Miami actually looks like because I didn't do it. But getting to hear directly from someone in the job, we think you would be good at this. Like it's cool to see how effective that has been
Yeah.
across the board. I guess that maybe getting a little bit more deeper into the conversation and thinking about like the actual interview process and
Yeah.
what that looks like. We are continuously talking about within the field, within the university, within everywhere, like making sure that our processes are equitable and that students can be successful within these processes, especially as things get complicated in that sphere. What are some strategies or practices that you've seen that can help make the RA selection process more equitable?
Yeah. So one of the things that we do at Miami that I think a lot of the times people like know we do it here, but they're just like, it's just something we do. So I like our hiring is kind of like broken into three categories. The top two, so we score on a 3-point scale. The top 10% of people based off of their scores are guaranteed a job. That middle 80 is kind of like you could get the job where you're going to be on the alternate pool, and then the bottom 10% are deemed not hireable based off of their scores. And the reason that we do this is because years past there was some notice that like there was some notice that like there may be some biases in our hiring process because people that were getting perfect scores were not getting picked up for the job. And someone gets a perfect score,
That they
why
should be
ain't they getting
fired.
the job, you know? So that was a transition that we made like before I got here. So this is all like stuff that I have learned throughout my time doing this and like why we do it and all that. But it's really just been kind of like those top 10% people are like they scored like a 60 out of 72 most of the time. Like it's generally, they do pretty well in an interview. And yes, could that sometimes contribute to like great interview skills? Sure. Sometimes they don't make the best RAs, but they interviewed well enough to be guaranteed a job. So we do that. Trying to think if there's anything else that I necessarily think of. And I'm drawing a blank. I think that's mainly like our biggest kind of thing to kind of keep things ethical. Other than just like, here's the script of questions. You need to make sure you stick to the script of questions. Please don't deviate from the questions because we want to make sure everyone has the same exact thing, but that's not new for no one.
No, not new at all. But I think that for me, and this is my sixth year working at the
Yeah.
school, I've seen a lot of different ways of how we've done our recruitment, and at my own undergrad, like seeing a lot of different ways of doing it. And like some schools I have seen, like Stony Brook University in my undergrad, we had a group process, like ahead of individual processes. And I found that to be a fairly difficult space, particularly when we're talking about like disability and students who maybe are not comfortable talking in groups and then perceiving, okay, you're not comfortable in this group setting with people that you don't know, you're not going to be a good RA, which doesn't really constitute anything in my
Yeah.
professional and personal opinions.
My undergrad, it was a group process for most of it. And then there was a part of the interview, and this is the part of the interview where I was like, I'm done, I'm leaving. They put you into like a group of four, and it's that dumb, sorry if anyone loves it, but that dumb icebreaker where you build the tallest thing out of marshmallows and spaghetti. And that was part of the interview process to be an RA. And I was like, I'm out. Like this, calling it like how is this gonna tell you how I'm gonna be an RA?
I remember we had to, with a big, they gave us like one of those giant post-it notes, We had to plan out a program, like as a group of like 4 or 5 people in our interview, and we had to plan a program like from scratch and draw the flyer for it. And I remember distinctly that being a part of the interview because there was one person, very sweet, very soft-spoken girl in my interview, and she like was not participating at all because I could tell how uncomfortable she was attempting to do this. And a few of us who maybe were a little bit more extroverted were like trying to include her in that process. And then I watched me and that other person who tried to include her get hired and not her. And I've thought about that like every time that I think about group processes and like whether or not they are and a fair way of going about things. But even like more like making processes more equitable and more fair, I've seen a lot of like giving the candidates the questions and making sure they can all read the questions and sticking to rubrics because there are always difficulty in following a rubric at times. But I think just doing that continued training with staff, I've watched be effective for the most
I
part.
mean, we train out the wazoo about our interviews. Like, we do a training in the fall semester. We do a training at winter training. Like, RAs hear it 4 times probably from either central staff or their supervisor. Like, we are hounded in it. We're making sure everyone knows what they're doing. Because I don't need, and my co-person for RARS doesn't need people calling me like, I think there was bias against me. Like, we're doing everything we can to cut everything out. Like, there should be absolutely nothing that you are being judged upon. We even tell people, like, we're like, if someone shows up in sweatpants, they show up in sweatpants. Like, we do not care. The way that they dress does not dictate how they're going to do the job.
And that then in turn, like I've watched that help RAs like unlearn some inequitable things like within their own spaces and continuing learning there too. I have one staff member who's entering like the engineering field, and because of this job, she like learned a lot more about just because that person is not in a suit doesn't mean they're unprofessional. And like that was something like talk about the learning that can come out of some of the things we're doing like within that process.
Like, we're a huge business school. Like, we've got a very popular business school. So yes, do we get a lot of RAs that from the business school that show up to their interviews in suits? Absolutely. Do we also have a lot of RAs who maybe show up in athletic gear and are some of the best RAs? Absolutely. Like, it's just kind of like, professional to you is could potentially not be professional to me.
And helping RAs unpack and understand that makes for a more equitable process. Yeah, I like that. That said, though, thinking about the process in general, and you've watched a lot of changes, you've been a part of processes, you've left a process in the middle of it as well. But if you could just completely scrap it, if you could scrap the interview process, if you could redesign the RA interview process from scratch, no limits at all, where do you think you'd start with that?
I think it's hard because sometimes there's like, I don't
And
know. I
it's
think what we're
like,
listen, I think sometimes we're what we're doing is great, but like, obviously there can always be improvements and something could change that's going to make it 10 times better. I think for me right now, the one thing that I wish I could change and that I have been advocating to look into changing is room setup for interviews. Right now, to give context, our room setup is like we have all the tables and a perimeter. Candidates are facing the wall, so they're not echoing and not distracting other people. That was a change that we had that we had implemented, because it used to be we were in rows. You're basically sitting next to someone who was interviewing, and that was big time distracting. Obviously, we've got spaces for people that need accommodations, for them to be in like single space rooms. And truthfully, I think that's what I would start with, is coming up with a way for them to be not one-on-one, obviously, because I still want there to be two people interviewing one person, but like you're in a room doing the interview and that's it. Trying to make everything kind of like distraction-free, letting people kind of like go at their own pace, not feeling pressured because they hear someone's like on question 10 and they're on question 5. Really kind of like that's where I would start, is kind of that. How are interviews set up? Like, what does the actual physical space look like? Because I think sometimes that's what influences a lot of like how they show up in the space, is what is the space, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And I think that is one of the biggest things that I would want to change too. In the process that I run with my students in the leadership program that I run, as well as just RA interviews in general, it is complicated when the physical space is limiting, and when what is the alternative?
Right.
As far as like finding how do we set that up to be the most equitable space, which then gets into universities not being designed to be the most equitable spaces for folks to be a part of, which then continues into the recruitment process that they're at this institution where we're at, there is not a building that has enough rooms to do all the interviews at the same time on the same floor at the same time. That just does not exist.
And then, and I don't want to be like the type of person being like, oh, meet me at the front of the building. You're going to room 2 something, and then the next person's going to room 3 something. Like that's, it's just not the most logistically feasible.
No, but no limit figuring out like what that would look like and creating like a space where students could all be in an individual room. I would definitely do that. I think no limit whatsoever doing whatever. I think we know collectively that students learn differently and interview differently and like need different things in those spaces. If there was a way to fairly and equitably have the process look a little bit different for each student based on what they need, I would love that. What that would look like, I think that's maybe 5 different podcast episodes. That's what that might look like. But knowing that students learn differently, it makes sense that they would, in theory, need to be interviewed a little bit differently to be the most successful.
Or going back to what we were saying earlier, they're coming to the job for different reasons.
So they would need different things. But what exactly that would look like is hard. And I think that's why I wanted to ask that, because I'm like, that's such a, it's a nuanced and complicated question because there is no answer.
Because truthfully, if I could, if you scrapped an interview pro if we scrapped our interview process and totally started over, if we're talking like with restrictions and with what we've got logistically, I think it would still look pretty similar to what we're currently
It would
doing.
probably be the same thing again.
I was at lunch yesterday with someone from a different institution who's kind of also in charge of recruitment and stuff. And they brought up this point that I like, truthfully, I've never even thought of. And I think it's because our campuses are a little different. They've done away with application essays. They've now moved towards student or want to move towards students submitting application videos, because they have a higher international population and they don't want the essays to be like a blockade for them to get the job. We don't necessarily have that issue at the moment, but I also thought it was like super interesting because that was something that I didn't necessarily ever think of. Because like, I mean, generally speaking, our essays are not make or break for for application to get an interview. We don't really cut a lot of people between application to interview. Really, it's just like if there's a super big red flag in their essays that that's why like they get cut. Otherwise, like you're making it to the interview. But if we start getting more and more applications like we have been, we're gonna have to start looking at making cuts before interviews because like physically we can do about 300 to 400 interviews.
Yeah.
And if we have to like if we get 600 applications, there's like either the process is gonna have to go on longer, which God help me if it does. Or it's we're just gonna have to cut people and tell them like we're sorry, like your essays weren't good enough, like you like you're not getting an interview, and that sucks. Like these three very simple essays are what kept you from even interviewing for an RA job.
Yeah, and that's hard.
So we're not there yet. We're not there yet. But if we keep going the trajectory we're going, pat them back to me and Katie, and I think we're doing a great job. But eventually, like we might get there.
And then adapting to the student population and the situation at hand in some ways takes priority
Yeah.
over some other spaces. But, well, I guess then, Perry, for my last question for you today, and you've talked about a lot of different advice and kind of like touched on a lot of these things, but what might be like if you had to give one tangible piece of evidence to Residence Life staff members, like working in recruitment, like building that space in the way that you have in your time here, what might be a piece of tangible advice that you would give to staff trying to make their processes more inclusive, more equitable?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just knowing your student population. Like our RAs are like RAs everywhere are diverse. And yes, you have to generalize some things sometimes. Yes, we don't like to do it, but we got to do it sometimes. And so I think just getting the understanding of like what makes the most sense at your university, like what is going to be that make or break thing that could potentially catapult you to the next level of recruitment, or it could potentially bury you. For us, I think when we were looking at things, I think it was like the thing that I think kind of was transformative lately has been the way that we don't like, you don't get to see the scores of the people anymore. You have to go off of what they said during their interviews. You're not hiring someone based off of the fact that they got a perfect score. They are still in that top 10%, so they do get a job, but you don't know that they scored perfectly. You just have to read what they said. So you're actually hiring someone for what they said during their interview, not just because someone circled a three instead of a two. Which I think, I mean, we got a lot of pushback on. Which is fine. Sometimes you got to make decisions that some people hate and some people really enjoy. Some people really hated it, and told us that they're just like, this is, I think this is the worst thing that you've done. And, you know, we took that feedback, and unfortunately don't agree. We think it actually kind of helped people really look more into the student as a person compared to the student as a number. Which I think in recruitment processes sometimes can get lost.
Especially when there's 300 plus candidates
Yeah.
or 500, 600, depending on the size of the institution you're at.
Right.
Yeah. I think that that example, because Perry and I work at the same school, and that instance, I watched that get very negative feedback. And at first, I was unsure about it. I was like, this is interesting. And I found myself reading the notes significantly more than I had in previous years,
Yeah. Some
making
people
sure
are
that the candidates that I liked were actually the candidates that I liked.
some people like used to just be like, oh, that's the highest score on this list that I'm trying to pick up. That's what I'm gonna take. And guess what? Sometimes they're the worst RA. They're the worst RA, period. They're the worst RA for your building because every building is different. So you gotta hire the people that are gonna make sense in your building, or they're the worst RA for you as a supervisor, because you also have to keep like I think that's the one that people like lose the most, is that you're going to be working with these people. how you function as a supervisor into account when you're hiring. Like, I myself am not a type A person at all. 0% type A. And you know what? I working on it, kind of, not really,
You
but.
own it though. You own it though.
And I tell my RAs that up front. I'm like, listen, I am not type A. I struggle supervising type A people. I tell them because I do. Like, I'm very much a like laissez-faire type of person, loosey-goosey, like whatever you want to say. Like, I'm very much a just like, here's your end goal, go do it, rather than be like, here are your steps to do this thing. And so I tell them up front, like, if this is what you need, like, I can do it. But perhaps I am not the best boss. And I think some, like, when I'm doing hiring, I keep that into consideration. If someone in their essays is literally like, I really like a lot of structure, I'm probably not the best person.
And doing the process in the way that we did it invited you and me and our entire team to like really read into these candidates and figure out who we're actually hiring. And I think that that in and of itself makes a process more equitable because you're actually getting to know the people behind the piece of paper in front of you. Out of the 300 plus candidates on the sheet, knowing who we're looking at, I think, helps with that process. But with that, Perry, that about wraps up our time together today. Thank you so much for joining
Of
me. I
course.
hope you had a
Thank
good
you for
time.
having me.
Of course, you are made for a podcast, so
I
I
am, and I hope
appreciate
everyone enjoyed my voice.
We appreciate you having here, and thank you all for joining us for today's episode of ResEd Chat. If you have an idea or a topic or a person that you would like to have on the show, please let us know by reaching out for Room Pact. But for now, take care of yourselves and enjoy the
Or
rest
if you want
of
me back.
the day. Or if you want Perry back, let us know. Bye for now, folks.